old for camping. I think Charlie has adopted your brother, he commented.
Yes, I think you are right,
she said, glancing everywhere but at him. He watched as she shyly pushed back a strand of hair that had blown against her cheek. He couldn't stand the look of uncertainty in her eyes. They had stayed up talking until after 2 in the morning. It wasn't until he realized Marina was struggling to keep her eyes open that he insisted they return to camp and get some rest. Still, he hadn't resisted the urge to kiss her once more, just before she disappeared into the shelter where Aaron lay sleeping. It hadn't been easy, but he had forced himself to turn and make his way to the pallet Jeff had set out for him. When he got there, he had to push Charlie off his bed as usual. The Golden had been snoring almost as loudly as Jeff. After several minutes of pushing, Charlie had finally risen and moved over to lie next to the boy. In seconds, both of them were curled around each other, snoring away. Mike had found himself staring up at the stars, trying to decipher the whirlwind of information that Marina had told him about her world and the Sea Witch. Another hour had passed before his brain finally rebelled. Exhausted, he fell into a restless slumber. Pushing his thoughts away, he instinctively reached for Marina, pulling her into his arms. She stiffened at first before relaxing against him and burying her face against his shirt. Holding her close, he pressed a kiss to the top of her head.
"I thought a lot about what you told me last night. I want you to know that I'll do whatever I can to help you," he said, resting his cheek against her hair.
She pulled back and looked up at him with wide, hopeful eyes.
"You'll see if the women are from your world, and beg them to seek the help from the dragon and the sea king,"
she whispered, gripping the sides of his shirt tightly in her fists. Mike nodded.
"Hell, if nothing else, I can at least close the 2 cases I was working on. I would rather find out they were married to some magical fairy tale creatures than find their bones scattered in the woods back in Oregon," he responded.
"Mike,"
Marina started to say, before she jerked in horror when she heard the loud screams coming from the nearby river.
"The children!"
Marina's heart thundered in her chest, and she gripped Mr. Bow tighter as she ran down the uneven path. Fear and self-reproach threatened to suffocate her. She swept her hand out, shattering the dead low branch into dust that hung down. Behind her, she could hear Mike's steady breaths as he followed her. She started to cry out in rage and frustration when Mike suddenly wrapped his hand around her arm and pulled her to a stop. Turning on him, her protest died on her lips when he shook his head in warning and held a finger to his lips. She realized he was right. Charging into whatever lay ahead would just get them either caught or killed. She swallowed her protest and nodded, watching as he pulled his shiny silver and black weapon from its sheath. She shivered when he stepped in front of her, his hands firmly clasped around the shiny weapon. He moved with a deadly purpose that spoke of an accomplished warrior. Charlie's frantic barking echoed through the air, mixing with the cries of some of the children. They quietly moved up along a line of boulders that overlooked the river. Mike paused at the top, surveying the situation below. Marina knelt on the rough stone next to him. She frantically searched for her brother. Driven by fear when she didn't see him, she rose without thinking and lifted her bow as a low cry of fury escaped her. Firing as fast as she could, she sent arrow after arrow into the beasts surrounding the children. Beside her, Mike rose up and fired his weapon at a hellhound that had knocked Charlie onto his side and had the pup pinned to the ground. The creature rolled to the side before lying still in the shallow water of the river. Marina didn't hesitate. She fired 3 flaming arrows into the creature to make sure it was dead. The body glowed briefly before it turned to ash. Sliding down the rock, she landed lightly on the rocky ground. Quickly scanning the area, she searched the dark shadows for more creatures. Mike landed beside her, turning so they were back to back as they made their way to the small group of children huddled together. Marina turned her head to stare at the closest child.
"Where's Jeff?"
she demanded.
"They took him,"
one of the children replied in a shaking voice.
"There were 3 of them. They came from the other side of the river and took us by surprise. Jeff told us to run when he saw them, but one of the hellhounds blocked our path. He killed one before one of the sea witch's men knocked him unconscious and took him away. The ogre that took Jeff ordered the hellhound to kill us.
No, Marina's soft cry echoed as she sank to her knees. Grief poured through her. Marina knew what the sea witch would do to her brother. Turn him to stone if he didn't give her the information about the whereabouts of any others that opposed her. Marina bowed her head, closed her eyes, and breathed in and out deeply.
Marina, Mike's husky voice pierced through the grief and rage threatening to overwhelm her. Marina slowly opened her eyes, blinked back the burning tears, and looked up at Mike as he knelt on one knee in front of her. Her eyes began to burn again when she saw the worry and compassion in his eyes. Swallowing, she nodded and turned her face into his warm palm when he laid it against her cheek.
"I have to go after him," she whispered.
"We will go after him," Mike replied in a hard voice. "Together."
Marina slowly nodded and laid her hand into Mike's outstretched palm. They both rose to their feet. She moved her gaze to the children who were now petting Charlie. The pup's ears were drooping, and there were traces of blood on his neck where the hellhound had pinned him.
He softly whined when he saw them staring at him. "Take Charlie back to the camp and care for his wounds," Marina instructed in a low voice. "Tell Aaron what happened, and that we are going after Jeff."
"What about the others who have gone for food and wood?"
a young girl asked in a trembling voice.
"Aaron and Chai will know what to do,"
Marina assured the girl, in a calm, steady voice that belied what she was really feeling. The children nodded and turned away. Marina waited until they were out of sight before she turned to look at Mike. The expression on his face strengthened her belief that everything would work out. Whatever force of nature had brought him to her world, whether by a misspoken spell or fate intervening, she was glad he was by her side. She waited as he quickly ejected something from the weapon in his hand and checked it before sliding it back in.
"They will take him back to the palace. There are too many of them for us to fight," Marina said with a feeling of certainty.
"You said that this Drago and the Sea King might help," Mike said. "If nothing else, the Sea King is partly responsible for this mess. Can you contact him?"
She gave a stiff shake to her head.
"I am young and still learning the magic of our people. This would require a power that I do not possess. But I know someone who can help us," she replied.
"Can you trust this person?" Mike asked, in a steely voice.
"Yes. It will take a couple of hours to reach our destination," she said.
Mike watched as Marina turned on her heel and carefully crossed the stone path that created a natural bridge across the shallow river. Touching the gun pressed against his side, he made sure that it was secure as he followed her. He had 3 bullets left in the clip. While he did train to be a soldier in the Air Force, his field of expertise was internal investigations, not combat. Still, he continued his training and physical fitness once he left the military and joined the police force. He easily passed the physical requirements for the police department and was well trained for most situations.
"Of course, they sure as hell didn't have training during my time in the military for dealing with magical creatures and things straight out of a horror movie," he thought, with a disgruntled sigh as he drew in a deep breath. "Hell, what I need is some Men in Black training. Not that they ever had to deal with magic, just insane aliens." Still, a part of his mind argued as he gazed at the woman ahead of him. "If I have to fight, I couldn't think of anyone better to be by my side than Marina, though I wouldn't mind having a couple of the guys from the force here as well."
Chapter 12 Mike watched as Marina wiped her hand over her cheek. Sweat glistened on her brow, but he knew the dampness she brushed away came from the stray tears that still escaped. Instinctively, he reached for her trembling fingers and squeezed them in encouragement.
"We'll get him back," Mike promised her, in a low voice.
"How much farther?"
"Not far,"
she replied, giving him a thankful smile before she focused on walking the path. Mike nodded and released her fingers. He looked at the thick forest on each side of the path. They had covered a lot of ground over the past 2 hours, moving steadily down the high mountain to the valley far below. He had been surprised when Marina veered off the main road and onto a narrow path that looked more like an animal trail. They hadn't talked during their trip, instead conserving their energy to move deftly and silently along the difficult path. They had stopped twice to wait for some of the Sea Witch's ogres riding hellhounds to pass by. Each time, Marina had whispered a spell to conceal their presence. She said it was one of the spells her father had taught her when he realized what the Sea Witch was doing.
"Here,"
she murmured, stopping and looking to her left. Mike frowned as he gazed in the same direction that Marina was looking. All he saw were thick trees and tall ferns. He was about to ask her if she was sure when she waved her right hand, as if pulling back a curtain. He knew his mouth was hanging open when the trees groaned and began to part. "Holy!" Mike's voice died when he saw a manicured, pebble-covered path lined with a brilliant display of flowers. At the end of the path was a quaint little cottage straight out of a Thomas Kincaid painting. If the walking trees weren't enough to stun him, the cry of the plants as they greeted Marina made him feel like he had fallen down the White Rabbit's hole, been swept up in a tornado, and deposited in the middle of an animated classic. "What next? The giant from the beanstalk, along with his magic harp and the goose that lays the golden eggs?" he muttered with a shake of his head.
"The giants live on another isle," Marina remarked, glancing over her shoulder. "Come, grandmother is waiting for us."
"Your grandmother?" Mike repeated, startled as he quickly stepped onto the path. He stumbled as he glanced over his shoulder. The trees were once again moving, this time closing the gap they had created. "Are you serious about the giants?" Marina frowned and nodded.
"Of course," she replied. "I've never seen them in person, but Father and Mother have. They both said the giants are very nice, but rather rough around the edges."
"Marina! Come, child, come inside!"
an elderly voice called out from the shadow of the doorway. Mike stood frozen for a moment as he tried to wrap his head around Marina's casual acceptance of giants. Maybe they weren't the same as the fictional giants from back home. Maybe they were just really, really, really tall people, he thought with a grimace. With his luck, they were probably as real as this Drago the Dragon and the Sea King Merman. "I am really going to need a drink by the time this adventure is over," he muttered under his breath before following Marina into the shelter. Marina blushed when her grandmother looked at her with clouded eyes. She hadn't missed the inquisitive look or knowing smile when her grandmother tilted her head in Mike's direction. For the millionth time, Marina wondered how her grandmother seemed to see everything, even though she knew the other woman was blind. In the past year, she had only been able to come here twice to make sure her grandmother was safe. Marina sighed in regret as she gazed around the beautiful, quaint garden and tiny cottage. While she would have loved to create something like this for the children, she did not have the magical power to hide it the way her grandmother did. There had also been no way to bring all the children here to hide. To create an area big enough for everyone would have been too much for the enchanted garden and the ability of her grandmother's magic to conceal.
"Grandmother, this is Mike Holbrook. He..."
Marina started to say, before stopping when her grandmother stepped up to Mike and gave him a kiss on both cheeks. Mike grinned and raised an eyebrow when her grandmother squeezed his arms.
"I know, I know. He is a stranger to our world. He's a strong one, child, and cute, too. You are a very lucky witch. Now, both of you come in. I was just about to have a bite to eat,"
LaDonna Fay chuckled.
"Mike, may I present my grandmother, LaDonna? I have to caution you that she can be a bit blunt,"
Marina added under her breath when Mike stepped up to enter the cottage behind her grandmother.
"Nonsense! I am very blunt. At my age, I don't have to be socially polite anymore,"
LaDonna retorted, leaning on her cane.
"Hello, Ms. Kane," Mr. Beau greeted.
"Oh, no, you brought him back,"
Ms. Kane groaned. Marina grimaced. She propped Mr. Bow up against the wall near the door. Turning, she saw Mike's questioning expression.
"Same forest, different trees. Another gift from my father," she quickly explained.
She closed the door and walked over to her grandmother, who was placing a large pot of stew in the center of the table. There were three place settings already on the table. Her grandmother had known they were coming. Marina retrieved the pitcher of water from the polished stone counter and placed it on the table. She looked up in surprise when Mike pulled out her chair. Murmuring her thanks, she slid onto the dark wooden seat. Her gaze followed him when he did the same for her grandmother. Her grandmother's pleased hum told Marina that her grandmother was impressed with Mike's manners. He pulled out the chair to the right of her and sat down.
"We can talk about why you are here while we fill our bellies," LaDonna said, with a wave of her hand.
The bowls in front of them floated over to the pot of stew. LaDonna continued to chat about the new flowers coming up in her garden, while the ladle filled their bowls with the delicious-smelling stew. Marina sliced thick sections of bread as the filled bowls landed in front of each person.
"I really should have planted the flowers on that side of the yard sooner. I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier," LaDonna sighed.
Marina waited until her grandmother finished speaking. She looked down at her bowl, suddenly not hungry. The thought of Jeff being in the Sea Witch's hands made her sick to her stomach. Closing her eyes, she tried to push the image of Isha and the others frozen in the courtyard out of her mind. She opened her eyes and lifted her gaze up to Mike. He squeezed her fingers under the table in support. She gave him a grateful smile before turning her attention back to her grandmother, who had grown silent.
"Grandmother, one of the Sea Witch's ogres took Jeff," she quietly informed the older woman.
"Yes, I know, child,"
LaDonna replied.
"That is why you are here."
"Yes."
Marina blinked back the tears in her eyes. Her grandmother reached over and patted Marina's hand. The older woman sighed and nodded to them to eat.
"Food first. You will need your strength on the journey you have ahead of you," LaDonna instructed.
"I came to ask for your help. I created a portal between our world and Mike's. I don't know how I did it, but if there is a way to do it again, this time to the Isle of the Sea Serpent, we hoped to ask for the Sea King's help,"
Marina explained.
"Portals can be tricky. Lucky for you, I know a thing or two about them. Now, do not worry so, child. Everything will work out,"
her grandmother said, as she blew on the hot mixture.
"How can you be so sure?" Marina asked.
LaDonna turned her head toward Mike.
"Your young man has powerful magic, but it will take the combined strength of the Sea King, the King of the Dragons, and Magna herself to defeat the evil that controls our kingdom," she explained.
"What are you talking about? Why would Magna help defeat herself?"
Marina asked in confusion.
"The Sea Witch either made one vital error when she cast her spell, or she did it on purpose," LaDonna said.
Marina frowned.
"I know that she retreats to the palace each night because of the spell that drains us. I suspected that was why she disappeared each day before the sun sets,"
Marina said, with an impatient wave of her hand.
"What use is that if we are too tired and weak to do anything? Even the Sea King and Drago will more than likely suffer from the effects."
"Yes, Magna's spell affects her just as much as it does the rest of us, except for your young man. Magna is just as much a product of the magic of our isle as she is of the sea. She needs both to survive, but the creature that has possessed her can only survive inside her or inside someone else."
Marina frowned and laid her spoon down.
"What creature? What are you talking about?" she demanded.
"I see, though I am blind, Marina, many things that others do not. Isha came to visit me before he was turned to stone. My visions are oft-times not as clear as I would wish. I told him the same thing that I tell you now. The Sea Witch is not all that she appears. There is something darker living inside her, something alien to our world. I still see the young girl she used to be locked inside,
Magna fights the evil imprisoning her as best she can. Have you never wondered why Magna would create a spell that happens to weaken her as well as others? One that would force her, the hellhounds, and the ogres back to the palace when darkness falls?
LaDonna asked.
I thought it was just to protect her when she was at her weakest. I was just so grateful that it gave us some measure of relief from the constant threat of attack, Marina admitted.
LaDonna shook her head.
The spell she cast upon the ogres fades, and she must lock them up so they cannot escape. The hellhounds are unnatural beasts. They are made from the darker magic feeding on hers. They guard her at night when she is defenseless, she explained.
Do you mind if I ask how you can be sure of this information? Mike interjected, when he saw Marina mulling over these details.
Because I have one of the ogres. They are quite talkative beasts when you get to know them. I found him stuck in the tar pit, and took pity on him once darkness fell and he turned back to his normal self,
LaDonna explained, with a wry grin on her face.
I've always had a soft spot for the creatures. No one can grow mushrooms like they can. Grandmother! He could have been captured, or worse! Where is he now?
Marina asked in horror, leaning forward and placing her hand on her grandmother's arm.
During the day, he could still harm you.
LaDonna shook her head, her clouded eyes swirling with color.
Magna is not the only powerful witch on this isle, she said, with a shake of her head. While I'm not as strong as I used to be, I can still protect my home and gardens.
Marina sat back in her chair.
That is why we need your help. Only the king and queen together would have been strong enough to defeat Magna. If she had not tricked the king and imprisoned the queen with her deceit, none of this would have happened. No, child. Not even they could have stopped her. It will take more than magic to defeat her. You will be able to see the evil that is inside her. You must not let it escape. If it does, it will only move to another. There is one who is more powerful than even Magna. You must make sure that the evil inside Magna does not touch the Keeper of Lost Souls,
LaDonna whispered, staring straight ahead as if she could see into the future. Lost souls? Mike asked, leaning forward and resting his elbows on the table. Marina mentioned the Sea King and Drago. Can they defeat Magna?
Defeat? No. But they can free her and the rest of the Seven Kingdoms with help from you and Marina, LaDonna said. Then we have to talk to them, Marina insisted.
She pushed away from her half-eaten meal and rose to her feet, her hands clenched in determination. She would do whatever it took to free her family and her people. LaDonna sighed and nodded. With a wave of her wrinkled hand, the dishes on the table disappeared, and a set of brilliant green and blue stones appeared. LaDonna slowly rose, the chair behind her quickly stepping backwards out of her way, and nodded for Marina to pick up the stones.
I store some of my magic in the stones. Remember, you must convince the Sea King and Drago to attack before the dawn of a new day. Once Magna's spell lifts, she will be too powerful, and will have the armies of the ogres and the hellhounds to protect her. Be careful, though. If the creature inside her feels threatened, it may destroy the stone statues held prisoner. If that happens, the king and queen will be lost forever. Take the stones and place them in a circle and repeat after me, LaDonna instructed.
Marina nodded. She scooped the stones up into her hands. Carrying them, she quickly moved to stand in front of the hearth. Handing some of the stones to Mike, they carefully laid them on the worn rug in a circle and stepped inside. Marina held one hand out to Mike. He placed his hand on hers, and she grasped it firmly. Turning, she called to Mr. Bow to come to her. Once she had a grip on both Mike and her bow, she murmured to her grandmother that they were ready.
Be safe, child, and remember, I will always be in your heart, LaDonna whispered,
before she began chanting in a low voice. Marina's gaze jerked to her grandmother's face. She parted her lips in protest, but no words would come. the serene look on her grandmother's face etched into her memory as her grandmother began to weave her spell. Through the swirling colors of magic, she could see her grandmother begin to fade. She trembled as the quaint cottage shimmered, growing old and crumbling before her eyes. The outside gardens became visible. Near the creek, the ogre that her grandmother had saved looked up from where he was tending a small bed of mushrooms. Deep sorrow darkened his eyes as his features began to change. The protection of her grandmother's magic faded, and he was once again bewitched with the sea witch's curse. Her grandmother gave the last of her magic to Marina.
"I love you, child. Save our kingdom, and tell your father that I will miss him, but will always be there in his heart," LaDonna whispered. "Grandmother!"
Marina's soft cry of protest faded with the last of the magical garden that her grandmother had created. She closed her eyes and focused on the magic swirling around Mike and herself. She felt his hand tighten on hers as the colors of the magic began to change to those of rich wood and stone. A hoarse sob caught in her throat, and she forced herself to stand strong as the wave of grief swept through her. Silent tears coursed down her cheeks, and she had to blink to clear her vision. Her gaze swept around the room before returning to Mike when he swayed and bent forward to brace his hands on his knees. Resting her hand on his back, her gaze locked with a pair of brilliant light blue eyes.
"The Sea King," she whispered.
Chapter 13 Mike swallowed down the wave of nausea that churned in his stomach. That damn portal should come with a warning label that said, "Intense swirling colors may cause nausea and disorientation." He took a deep breath when he felt Marina's hand on his back. "I'm okay," he muttered, taking another deep breath and slowly straightening.
"The Sea King," Marina murmured.
"Oh, shit," Mike said, freezing when he saw that they weren't alone. Not only were they not alone, they were surrounded by a large group of people. He rolled his shoulders, wincing when he felt his stomach twist in protest for a moment. "Marina?"
"I know,"
she responded in a soft voice. She wiped the dampness from her cheeks and turned until she was facing the tall figure standing on the platform above them.
"Your Majesty, I beg forgiveness for intruding on you without warning, but my people need your help."
"Detective Holbrook?" a startled feminine voice said. "Shit, she is here," Mike whispered, staring at the redhead standing next to the man on the platform. "Jenny Ackerley." "Who are you?" the male demanded, as he stepped in front of Jenny.
"Your Majesty, please, I beg a moment of your time. I am Marina Fay, a witch from the Isle of Magic. Our visit here came at a great cost. Please, we need your help," Marina said.
Mike saw a tear slowly slip down Marina's cheek. He wrapped his arm around her and pulled her close to him. His sharp gaze met that of the man watching them. "My name is Mike Holbrook. We must speak with you about an urgent matter," he added, shifting everyone's attention to him when he sensed that Marina needed a moment to contain her grief. Personally, Mike didn't give a damn who the man was as long as he could help them. He could feel Marina tremble under his touch. Something had happened as they were leaving. He'd heard Marina's strangled cry and saw everything changing around them as the colors intensified. "Capian, clear the room," the Sea King ordered. Mike watched as another man stepped forward. He heard the doors open behind him and the excited voices of the people as they filed out of the room. He turned his gaze to the woman slowly descending the steps. It was obvious from the smothered curse of the king that he wasn't happy about her decision. "Jenny?" the Sea King growled in exasperation.
"It's okay, Orion. Detective Holbrook is not a threat," Jenny said.
Mike waited until she stopped in front of him. He released Marina and reached for Jenny's extended hand. She held it for a moment, studying his expression.
"You really are here," she breathed.
"Yes. We need the Sea King's help and that of a man named Drago. It is important, Mike replied.
Orion, I think we should have this discussion somewhere more comfortable, Jenny said, releasing Mike's hand and looking with concern at Marina's distraught face.
Orion's lips twisted in disapproval. You are from my wife's world, he stated, more than asked. Yes, Mike replied, gripping the other man's hand in a tight handshake.
How did you get here? He demanded.
It is a long story, but a very interesting one, Mike replied. Orion gazed intently at Mike, trying to read him, and must have been satisfied with what he saw. The other man gave a brief nod and released his hand. I look forward to hearing it. But know this, Jenny stays here. If you try to take her back with you, I will kill you, Orion warned.
Mike raised an eyebrow at the threat. My job is to find her and make sure she is safe. It is up to her if she wishes to stay, he replied with a shrug.
Orion nodded. Follow me. Mike wrapped his arm around Marina's waist again. She leaned against him and sniffed. They waited until Orion and Jenny were several steps ahead before following them. The man Orion called Capion followed at a slight distance behind them.
What happened? Mike quietly asked.
Marina drew in a deep breath before releasing it in a shuddering sigh. She wiped at the fresh tears that escaped. Concerned, he wished they could stop for a moment so he could hold her.
Grandmother gave us the last of her magic. She has passed on to the next life, she said in a halting voice.
Regret flashed through him. Uncaring of what Orion or the others thought, he stopped and pulled Marina into his arms, holding her tightly against him. Pressing his lips to the top of her head, he gently rubbed her back.
I have lost so many of my family. When will this ever stop?
She choked out. Soon. We'll convince this Sea King and Drago to help us. We'll free your brothers and parents. I won't stop until they are free, Mike promised. He lifted his gaze, and he stared intently at Orion. The other man had turned to see why they had stopped. The grim expression on Orion's face and the one of compassion on Jenny's told him that they had overheard Marina's impassioned, choked plea. Marina trembled before she took a deep breath and composed herself. Mike tenderly wiped the dampness from her cheeks with his thumbs and leaned forward to brush a light, gentle kiss across her lips. She gave him a wavering smile of thanks. Turning to look at Orion and Jenny, she briefly bowed her head.
My apologies, your majesties, she said.
No apologies are necessary. It is I who should apologize. Orion looked at the man standing quietly behind them. Capion, send a message to Drago. Tell him the time has come. He will understand. This time, we will not stop until my cousin is vanquished.
Right away, your majesty. I will also assemble an elite team of warriors, Capion stated, before he turned on his heel and strode off.
Mike watched the man named Capion disappear down the long corridor. He turned back to Orion and Jenny. Jenny had walked over to grasp Marina's hand.
I can't wait to hear how you met Detective Holbrook and how he ended up here, Jenny said with a smile.
Call me Mike. I have to admit I'm a little curious as well.
Do you know if Carly Tate is here? Mike asked.
Jenny nodded.
Oh, yes. She is married to Drago, she said, with a huge grin.
Let us retire to a more comfortable area to discuss what has happened, Orion suggested, wrapping his arm around Jenny's waist.
Thank you, Mike replied.
I guess you've been searching for me in addition to Carly since I disappeared, Jenny said, as she handed a drink to Mike.
Yeah. I have to admit this has been one of the strangest events of my life, Mike said.
Tell me about it. If anyone had ever told me that I would end up in a magical world and fall for a merman, I'd have pointed them to the nearest door, or maybe a psych ward, Jenny replied, sitting down in the chair across from him.
His eyes strayed to where Marina and Orion were quietly talking.
He could hear their conversation and understood that the Sea King wanted to hear what had happened over the past year.
His stomach clenched as Marina shared the horrors of trying to keep herself and the group of children safe.
So, is he really the Sea King? I mean, is it just a name, or is he really a, you know?
Mike waved his hand as if he was swimming. Yes, he really is a merman, Jenny replied, looking over at Orion with an expression that showed her love for the man.
So am I, now.
Mike turned back to look at Jenny with a startled look.
He turned you into a mermaid? He asked in surprise.
Well, my legs don't change into a tail, but yes, I can swim and breathe under the water like a mermaid, just as Carly can change into a dragon and fly,
Jenny said with a grin, her eyes sparkling with amusement.
Yesterday, one of her kids came down with a cold, and Drago insisted that they return home, or you would have met them today.
Mike took a deep swallow of his drink before he lowered the glass to the table.
Mermaids, dragons, witches, hellhounds, ogres, and the list just kept growing.
He studied Jenny's glowing features as she bent over to pick up the infant lying in the bassinet who had begun to fuss. He didn't need to ask if she was happy here. The contented smile on her lips was more than enough of an answer. From the little she had mentioned of Carly, it would appear the other missing woman was just as happy. He moved his gaze to where Marina was standing near the balcony doors. A warm glow spread through his body. He now realized the attraction he was feeling for Marina was deeper than infatuation. He was falling in love with her.
"Do you think Orion will help us?" he asked in a quiet voice.
Jenny nodded, glancing at Orion as he listened to Marina with a tight expression.
"Yes," she replied, in a confident tone. "Yes. He knows Magna is his responsibility. He told me that she changed years ago when they were teenagers. He doesn't understand why, but he realizes that it is his responsibility to stop her."
"I wasn't going to ask, but, well, this world is so different from ours. How do you know for sure you would be happy here?" Mike asked.
His gaze remained on Marina. Her expression relaxed, and she nodded as she listened to Orion. He could see the relief in her eyes and some of the tension fade from her body.
"Do we ever really know until we try?" she asked, with a raised eyebrow. "Yes, this world is different. But falling in love and having a family is the same, as long as you can get over the fact that your new in-laws may be mermaids, dragons, witches, or even monsters, that is." "I couldn't imagine ever returning to our world, especially now,"
Jenny replied, looking down at her daughter.
"I belong here. What about you? I see the way you look at Marina, and the way she looks at you. Life is very different for people here. Someone like Orion could never survive in our world. It would be too dangerous."
"I honestly never even thought of Marina coming to our world. Hell, I still don't understand how I got here," Mike admitted.
"Magna was instrumental in my being here. The day after I talked to you, I returned to Yahad State Park to search for clues regarding Carly's disappearance. I didn't find anything, of course. I had made up my mind that it was time to let go."
She shook her head and turned to look over at Orion.
"I've always loved the water. I walked down to the beach, and a short time later I heard Dolph, Orion's oldest son, laughing."
She turned to look back at Mike. A soft smile curved her lips.
"He later said he had just about given up on finding a fiery-haired woman to be his mother when he spotted me walking along the beach. When he ran into the water, I followed. I was afraid he would drown. The next thing I knew, I was in this world," she finished.
"Do you know if there was a way back?" Mike asked.
Jenny shrugged.
"I suppose if there is a way here, there is a way back. Carly told me that she was hiking along the trail when she got caught in a thunderstorm. There's a crack in the side of the mountain that opened into what looked like a small cave. She squeezed through it. The next thing she knew, she had stumbled onto Draco's hoard of treasure."
Jenny chuckled and shook her head.
"Carly is the only person I know who could end up in a cave filled with gold and only see the dragon. She told me that Drago told her to pick her treasure wisely and didn't know what to think when she asked if she could keep him."
"Do you think the Sea Witch had anything to do with Carly being here?" Mike asked.
"I don't know. I honestly don't know what to think of the woman. It is like she has two different personalities. One part of her is good. She helped Juno at one point, while another part of her is pure evil, she said.
I will help Marina and her people. If Drago is going to help, he will be here by dawn, Orion said.
Remember what Nali said, Jenny warned.
Orion nodded.
I remember.
That is why I am sending requests to the other rulers as well, he said.
Other rulers? Mike asked, confused.
Marina came over and sat down in the chair next to Mike. She still gripped Mr. Bo tightly in her hands. Mike leaned over and took one of her hands in his.
The Sea King is going to ask for help from the King of the Giants, the Empress of the Monsters, the Pirate King, and the Elementals, Marina explained.
The Empress of the Monsters. I can't wait to see who else shows up, Mike repeated, with a shake of his head.
Chapter 14
I hope you will be comfortable. If you need anything, you have only to ask, the young woman named Karin said with a smile.
Marina nodded. She swallowed when the woman closed the door, suddenly feeling lost and very much alone. Unsure of what to do, she turned around to look at the large, elegant bedroom that she was given. Marina had never been in such an ornately decorated room. A fireplace, almost large enough to stand in, was centered on one wall. In the hearth, a magical fire merrily crackled and popped, sending out a welcome warmth. Across from the fireplace was a huge four-poster bed. Each post was elaborately carved to look like coral. Marina noticed a long nightgown and robe across the foot of the bed, and a pair of silk slippers on the floor beneath. There was a set of double doors standing open and leading out onto the balcony. On each side of the doors, a column of windows rose from floor to ceiling, giving the occupant a magnificent view of the twinkling lights from the city below. A short distance from the city, the ocean waves crashed against the cliffs. The sound was soothing. There was another door on the opposite side of the room that Marina suspected led into the bathing room. With a loud sigh, she walked over to the fireplace and gazed down at the dancing flames. She hugged Mr. Bo tightly against her chest and bit her lip in uncertainty.
You know, if you keep holding me this tightly, I might think you are dreaming that I'm Mike, Mr. Bo dryly stated.
What? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Bo, Marina murmured, loosening her grip.
Why don't you go to him? Mr. Bo asked.
Marina shook her head.
And do what? Tell him that I want to feel his lips upon mine? That I want to feel his arms wrapped around me and...
She blushed and placed Mr. Bo on the table near the fireplace. She closed her eyes as a wave of desire swept through her with such intensity that it caused a physical ache. Perhaps she should tell him that she desired him in a way that she had never felt before. She knew that Mike wanted her. The evidence of his attraction to her had been obvious when he'd kissed her and she'd felt his hips pressed against hers.
And what?
Marina's eyes flew open, and she gasped and quickly turned at the sound of Mike's deep voice, her gaze locked with his. He stood in the open doorway, leading out onto the balcony.
I...
Marina's voice faded when she saw the burning desire in his eyes.
And what, Marina?
He asked again. The rough need in his voice washed over her.
Once again... The piercing desire swept through her, causing the ache to grow to a pulsing heat between her legs.
He was her match, the other part of herself. He completed her.
You can see my magic. You can feel it, she said, hoping he would understand what she was saying.
I see the colors that surround you, wrapping around me.
He lifted his hand up and took a step toward her. He turned his hand, staring at it. Marina could see the colors of her magic, uninhibited by Magna's spell, swirling around him.
I can feel the connection to you, he murmured, turning his gaze back to her.
I need you, Mike. I want you in a way I've never wanted to be with another, she confessed.
taking a step toward him. They moved slowly toward each other. As the gap between them narrowed, Marina's magic spun outward, cloaking them in the warmth of her aura. Mike sucked in a deep breath as he felt the unusual power flow through him. This was different from a runner's high. This was like seeing the universe opened up before you and being able to walk among the stars. A soft hiss escaped him when Marina finally touched him. Her hands moved up his chest to cup his cheeks. He could see the uncertainty and a trace of vulnerability in her eyes. With a soft moan, he lowered his head and captured her lips. The spark that had ignited between them burst into a raging wildfire. Mike could feel Marina's hands sliding along his skin to his hair. Her fingers splayed, holding him to her while her lips and tongue explored his mouth. A soft moan escaped him when her hands moved down along his neck and over his shoulders. He tried to pull back, but every time he did, she would follow him. Her hands were driving him crazy. They ran up and down his arms before moving around to his back. She didn't stop there. He sucked in a deep breath when she pulled both of his shirts free and slid her hands up under them to his heated flesh. Reaching around, he gripped her wrists and pulled back while his eyes shone with the fire burning inside him. "I need a shower or a bath or whatever in the hell you take here," he muttered in frustration. Marina's eyes glittered. Her fingers curled around his, and she tugged him toward a door on the opposite side of the room. Mike knew he was in trouble when she opened the door to the bathroom. His resolve to be a gentleman was quickly melting away. If she did what he was hoping for, there would be no stopping or going back. "Marina," he tried to warn her. She looked at him with a fierce expression.
"You say you need to bathe. I wish to bathe with you," she said, pausing in the doorway.
"Honey, if we go in there, I can assure you there's going to be a lot more than bathing going on," Mike warned.
"I hope there will be," Marina softly admitted, starting to turn back to step inside.
Mike pulled her to a stop. She turned, a faint expression of doubt creeping into her eyes. He reached up and cupped her cheek.
"This isn't going to be a one-night stand, or even a two-night stand. If I make love to you, Marina, it will be for keeps," he said.
I have never asked to be with a man before, Mike Holbrook,"
Marina admitted, flushing and glancing over his shoulder. Mike bit back the curse that almost slipped out. He had suspected that Marina was inexperienced, but he hadn't realized that she might be a virgin. Swallowing, he dropped his hand to his side and clenched his fist. This was going to be a true test of his willpower.
"We come from two different worlds," Mike said.
Marina's gaze jerked back to his face.
"Does it bother you that we are different?" she asked.
He shook his head.
"No. But I want you to be sure. I meant what I said, Marina. Especially now. If I take you tonight, this is serious," he said, emphasizing the last word.
"When you take me tonight, we will be together as one," she retorted, in a quiet voice.
"Damn, woman, you are going to drive me over the edge," Mike cursed,
wrapping his hand around her braid and capturing her lips again. He didn't resist the tug this time when she pulled him into the bathroom. His mind played through all the ways he wanted to make love to her. Knowing that this was her first time, he was going to do everything he could to make sure she enjoyed it. That included making sure she knew that he liked to have a little fun. He had always been an intense but selective lover. Something told him that Marina, even inexperienced as she was, would have no trouble keeping up with him. Breaking the kiss, he stepped back. His eyes glittered with promise, and his cock felt like he could drive nails with it. It had been a long time since he was this aroused. If he didn't take some control of the situation soon, it could quickly spiral into raw, primitive sex.
"Take off your clothes," he ordered.
"Only if you also remove yours," she countered,
lifting her chin. Mike raised an eyebrow at her daring tone. The curve of her lips proved that she might be innocent of the actual act, but she knew what was about to happen. His suspicion proved accurate when her eyes twinkled with mischief, and she started to unfasten her top.
I may live in a small village, but I have visited the capital city many times. What I have not seen during my trips, my mother and grandmother made sure to add to my education when I was old enough and curious enough to ask. Grandmother was a little more enlightening than my mother, she explained, with a wicked grin.
How enlightening? Mike asked, his gaze mesmerized by her fingers as she continued to undress.
Very,
she informed him, with an inviting look. Marina undid the last button and turned her back to him before she slowly shrugged her blouse off one shoulder. She paused to glance at him with a teasing smile before slipping it off the other shoulder. He swallowed when he saw that she didn't wear anything underneath her top. Her fingers moved to her belt, and she slowly tugged it free from her pants. When she held it up in the air, Mike reached out and took the belt, wrapping it around his hand. She turned her head to stare at him again over her shoulder.
Grandmother told me that to receive great passion and pleasure, you need to enjoy it the same way you enjoy a good wine, she murmured.
Mike swallowed. Her fingers were moving down along her side to her leggings. He could see the curve of her creamy breast, but not the tantalizing nipple that made his mouth water when he thought of what the hard tip would feel like when he sucked on it.
And how do you enjoy a good wine? He asked in a rough voice.
By teasing your taste buds, having the right dish to go with it, and savoring it so that it lasts all night, she whispered.
Mike's soft rumble of approval echoed through the bathroom when Marina pulled off each boot as she spoke before pushing down her leggings. They slid down her long legs to pool at her ankles. She lifted one foot and pulled it free before kicking off the other leg.
Kilia prepared my bath. Will you join me, Mike?
Marina asked. Mike watched her walk over to the raised platform. She stepped into the bath and turned, allowing him to see her for the first time. She was slender from the challenges of the last year, but still completely feminine. Her breasts were small and firm. She had a short waist, but long legs that made his hips jerk at the thought of them wrapped around him. His gaze traveled down to the patch of dark brown curly hair between her legs. His mouth watered at all the wonderful things he planned for that part of her body. He quickly pulled off his shirts, untied and pulled off his boots and socks, and shucked his pants. His wicked smile lit up his eyes when he heard her swiftly inhaled breath at the first sight of his throbbing cock.
I think it is time that I began enjoying my wine, he teased,
climbing up onto the platform.
Yes. Yes, it is, she agreed,
sinking back into the water.
How hot do you like it, Marina?
Mike asked, stepping into the water.
The water?
She mumbled, her eyes glued to his cock. Mike chuckled, sank down into the water, and reached for her.
The sex, he murmured, pressing his lips against her neck.
A soft moan echoed in the room.
Hot. Very, very hot, she said,
unaware of anything but his lips against her heated flesh. Chapter 15. Marina suspected she knew what Mike meant about hot. If her suspicions were correct, she was ready. Her body felt like it was on fire. She never expected that teasing him the way she had would cause her body to react the way it did. She tilted her head back and shivered despite the heated water swirling around them. She parted her legs to straddle Mike when he pulled her toward him. When she felt his cock brush across her womanhood, a shaft of intense desire pierced her, starting between her legs and moving through her entire body with a speed that left her gasping. Instinctively, she gripped his shoulders and rose up on her knees to join them together. A groan of frustration escaped her when he reached out and wrapped his hands around her waist, effectively stopping her from impaling herself on him. On a positive note, the move aligned her breast with his mouth.
"You make my insides melt," she whimpered.
He turned his head and locked his lips around her straining nipple.
"Yes," she cried.
The feel of his lips tugging on her pebbled tips felt so much better than when she used her fingers. Bowing her head, she watched him roll his tongue over the taut, rosy crest.
"The other! It is feeling neglected,"
she ordered hoarsely. Mike's soft, warm breath caressed her cool flesh when he released her.
"You're a bossy little thing. I like it," he growled, before capturing her other nipple.
"Oh, it does things between my legs," she said, her nails curling against his shoulders.
"Let's see what other feelings I can make you have," he murmured against her breast.
"Other,"
she choked out on a hiccup. The other was his hand moving from her waist to the mound between her legs. His fingers teased her, running along the soft folds that protected her. When he brushed against her swollen nub, she quivered.
"I'm going to wash you, Marina. I want to take my time exploring you," Mike said, against her damp skin.
Can we not wait to do the exploring later?" she breathed in an unsteady voice.
"Oh, no, my impatient little witch. The first time is all about torture by pleasure," he chuckled, turning her in his arms. "And I plan to torture you until you scream."
Marina gripped the side of the large tub and held on when he ran his hands down along her arms and pressed them to the rim of the tub. His hands slid back down and he gripped her hips, pulling her buttocks up and spreading her legs. Her fingers curled when he ran both hands over the cheeks of her ass.
"I've always been a breast and butt man," he informed her.
"I... that is nice. Good to know," she replied. "What are you going to do?"
she asked, licking her lips after she heard the water splash when he rose up.
"Will you trust me?" he asked.
Marina's eyes locked with his in the mirror on the far wall. She could see everything he was doing. There was something extremely erotic about watching what was happening while experiencing it. She followed him with her eyes as he picked up a bar of lightly scented soap. The aroma of fresh evergreens reached her when he dampened the bar and began rubbing it between his hands. He replaced the bar and turned those mesmerizing hands on her next. Goosebumps rose over her skin before quickly fading when he began to run his soapy hands up under her from her lower hips, along her stomach, and up to her breasts, where he teased them to full peaks again. A gasp escaped her when he tweaked them.
"Sometimes a little pain can lead to a great deal of pleasure," he explained.
"How can pain... oh, that is how," she exclaimed,
when he tweaked them again before pinching her nipples and rolling his fingers. Marina bit her lip to keep from crying out when Mike continued his sensual assault on her body. His hands ran along her arms, washing her all the way from shoulder to fingertips, before he drew her back against his body to rinse her. She relaxed against him when he picked up the soap again. This time she was sitting on his lap. He had his feet hooked around her ankles, holding her legs apart. It was the feel of his cock pulsing against her ass that had her hips rocking, though. Her head fell back against his shoulder when he began washing her chest and stomach. His fingers paused, taking time to make sure that her nipples remained hard and throbbing. She rose up when he pinched the taut tips hard between his fingers, and he rose with her, pressing his cock along the lining of her ass.
"Can you feel how much I want you?" he murmured,
brushing a kiss along her shoulder as his hands moved down to her soft curls.
"I want you," she whimpered.
Want was an understatement, she decided. She craved him. Her body felt like it no longer belonged to her. Every inch was super sensitive, and places she didn't know could hurt did, in a very pleasurable way. She spread her legs when he began stroking her. He was rubbing against her nub while playing with her breast. The heat rushing through her had nothing to do with the warm water, and everything to do with what Mike was doing.